Little Susie's Little Servants. Chapter 1. As little Susie had a kind mama to take care of her, you will, perhaps, wonder why God gave her also a great many servants of her own. He gave her so many that you might spend your whole life in reading about them. But I shall tell you of only a very few, and then you can ask your mama to talk to you about the others. For the little servants Susie had, you have, too. At first she did not know what they were for, or where they were. They did not know, either, and so they were useless. Two of them were black, and so much alike that you could not tell one from the other. Susie kept them shut up most of the time, so that nobody could see them. When her aunts and cousins came to see Susie, they would say, "I should think she might let us see them," and would go away quite disappointed. These black servants were bright little things, and they soon learned to amuse Susie a great deal. One of the first things they did for her was to let her see the fire, and that she thought very beautiful. Susie had another pair of twins for her servants, who knew so little what they were for, that they used to slap and scratch her face. Her mama said she should have to tie them up if they did so. Indeed, many a little baby has had them all covered up with white rags, to keep them from doing mischief before they were old enough to know better. But though they did not know how to behave, they were very pretty, tiny little things, and when Susie's papa knelt down and took one of them on his hand, and kissed it, and wondered at it, and said what a funny wee morsel it was, why, it looked, to be sure, like a pretty rose leaf, or anything else soft, and pink, you can think of. Susie had another pair of twins, that she took no notice of for some months. They did not learn how to wait upon her so soon as some of the others did. They were restless little fat things, seldom still a moment, and about all they knew was how to kick holes in blue and white socks. Susie had still another pair of twins, not very pretty, but very useful, for without them she never could have heard her mama sing, or her papa whistle, or the shovel and tongs fall down and make such a charming noise, nor the pussycat say mew, nor the doggy say bow wow. She had one more little servant that she kept out of sight all the time. All it was good for at first, was to help her get a great many breakfasts, and dinners, and suppers every day. But it became good for a great deal more, after a while. But if I go on in this way, I am afraid you will get puzzled, you are such a little creature. So if you will guess the names of these servants of Susie, I will give you three guesses. And if you do not guess right the third time, you will have to peep into the glass, when you will see most of your own, I mean those I have been talking about. Chapter 2. Well. Did you look at yourself in the glass? If you did, you saw in the middle of your face your black, or blue or gray servants, your two eyes. No matter what color they are, one kind is as good as another kind. As soon as Susie found out what hers could do, she kept them very busy indeed. If she wanted to see her mama, her eyes would not wait for her to bid them let her look at her, for they knew her thoughts as well as she knew them herself. They amused her while she lay on her mama's lap, by showing her the bright sunshine that came in at the windows, the white curtains, and the ball of gay worsted in the work basket. When she was turned over, her face downwards, to have her frock tied, they showed her the carpet, so as to keep her from crying. When they were tired, Susie had a soft coverlid with a beautiful fringe, that she could draw down over them, and then they could dress all night. God made this coverlid on purpose. The finest cambric handkerchief is coarser, God only can make a cover soft enough for the eye. After Susie was washed and dressed in the morning, and had had her breakfast, her mama would lay her down upon the bed, and spread a small blanket over her. Then the busy, bright eyes would look up to the wall, and look at a small spot of sunshine there, till at last they grew tired, and the soft coverlid would begin to come drooping, drooping down, and Susie would be fast asleep. Or in the midst of the dark night, if she woke up and did not know what else to do, she could look at the night lamp that sat on the floor in the corner, and wonder what it was, and how far off. Everything in the world was new to Susie, and as she grew older and her eyes grew stronger, they kept showing her all sorts of pretty things, and made the time pass away very quickly indeed. How pleased Susie was the first time they showed her the sweet smile of love with which her mama looked at her. She would have jumped for joy if she had been big enough. But while her two eyes were so busy in doing all they could to amuse her, her two ears were not idle, and one day when she was yet a very little baby, she heard a pleasant sound of bells ringing for church, that was as sweet as music. She looked surprised, and listened, and listened, and threw up her arms and smiled. After that, if she cried when she was washed, somebody would rattle the tongs and shovel, or make some such queer noise, and she would stop crying to hear it. So then I suppose her ears were very glad, and now they could help her pass her time much more pleasantly than before, for they could help her hear her mama sing, and what sort of a sound keys make when they jingle together, and all that. Susie was astonished at everything she heard, for she never had been where there were such wonderful noises before. And when Sarah put coals on the fire, Susie would start, and perhaps think it was an earthquake unless her mama smiled, as much as to say, "Don't be frightened, darling." So what with her eyes, and her ears, and her soft red tongue to get dinner with, Susie was a very happy baby, growing fatter and stronger and wiser every day. Chapter 3. But one morning, when she was 10 weeks old, Susie began to play with a plaything. What do you think it was? Why, her own little hand. She felt of it, lifted it up and looked at it, tasted of it, and admired it very much. A grave judge, sitting on his bench, and looking as wise as Solomon, could hardly look graver or wiser than Susie did when she first found out she had two little hands. How she turned them over, and tangled up the tiny fingers, and twisted and doubled them. Now she thought she had found out what those little things were for, that had been doing nothing but slap and scratch and grow fat. Why, they were to play with, to be sure. And she never would have to cry for them or get up to look for them, for there they were, always close by, and so nice and soft. So Susie played with her hands, and cooed to them, and told them stories in Greek, or Latin, or Dutch, nobody knows, and was quite cheery and happy. Her mama was very much pleased to see Susie playing with her hands, and after a time she offered her a little piece of paper. Susie looked at it and wanted to take it. But her hands did not know how, all they were good for was to play with each other. But they wanted to learn to hold things for Susie, and tried very hard, every day, until at last they did learn to hold her rattle for her, and then an orange, and then a bunch of keys. Nice little servants. Don't you think so? And by this time Susie made a great discovery. She found out that she had 2 feet of her own, and thought it would be a good plan to get one of them into her mouth. She worked very hard, before she succeeded, and was such a busy little baby that she could hardly spare time to eat her breakfast. I suppose she thought all those fat little feet were made for, was just for her to play with, just as she had thought about her hands. Perhaps you would like to see a letter that Susie wrote to her little cousin about these times. I rather think she must have got her mama, or somebody, to write it for her. My dear cousin. Since I last wrote you, I have grown a good deal, for I am now 6 months old. I cannot sit alone yet, for when I try, I fall over sideways. But with a pillow behind me, I can sit up very well, and play with my toys. I have an old basket half full of playthings, about which I will tell you. First I have an ivory ring, with a blue string in it, but I don't think much of that. Then I have a large glass stopper that came out of a vinegar cruet. Thirdly I have 2 spools tied together, and fastened to them, somehow, is a whole piece of tape that I snatched out of my mama's basket, and sucked till she said it was good for nothing, and I might as well keep it. Fourthly I have a cork that used to be in a bottle of something sweet, for it tastes very good, I am fond of this cork, and lie on the floor and play with it, just as a cat plays with a mouse. I have also a half dollar with a hole in it, that my grandmama gave me, but I always cry when I play with it, for it is so hard it hurts my mouth. I have a great many rags that my mama has given me. When she cuts out my little frocks, she gives me the pieces that are left, and some are white, some pink, and some blue. You see I am going to wear short frocks pretty soon. But my best playthings are 2 red sticks that were a part of an old fan your mama left here. The other day I was lying on the floor, and I thought I would see how far I could get one of them down my throat. When I had pushed it a good way, I began to cry. My mama caught me up and pulled it out, but my throat bled and was sore, so I guess I won't push it in so far, next time. Sometimes I go and pay a visit to our old cat and her 3 kittens. I talk to them as loud as I can, but they do not seem to understand what I say. And they don't like it when I try to put them in my mouth. I'm sorry to say that as I increase in wisdom I grow in naughtiness. I always cry all the time mama is washing and dressing me, and am very angry with her, for I don't like to be washed. And the moment I see her take out my basket at night, so as to undress me and put me to bed, I scream with all my might, and never stop till I feel something soft in my mouth. Last night as I lay on the floor playing with my beloved cork, mama came behind me and unfastened all my clothes, so that time I did not cry. I have 2 feet that I find very handy to kick with when I am angry, and 2 hands that pick up my toys when I want to play, and 2 eyes that show me pictures and other pretty things, and that never get any rest except when I am asleep. And if you ever answer this letter, I have 2 ears with which I hear it read. I am a very good baby when I wake in the morning. I lie in bed a good while, playing with my feet, or anything else I can get hold of. Sometimes I untie Mama's cap strings and sometimes I scratch and pull her cheeks and chin. Very often I almost pull Papa's nose off his face, for I don't know what he wants of it when he is fast asleep. Doesn't this remind you of old times, 3 or 4 years ago, when you were a baby? If you ever come here I shall not know what to do to amuse you, for I cannot talk. I should scratch your face and pull your hair, and put my fingers in your eyes, I don't know any better, I am such a little baby. I am very tired now, and must bid you goodbye, but one of these days I will write you another letter. Your little cousin, Susie. Chapter 4. Not long after Susie sent her letter, her mama bought some tiny little shoes and stockings for her. Susie was very much pleased indeed, and at first she would keep on tying her shoes and taking them off. But one day when she awoke from her nap, she took hold of the two sides of her cradle, and stood up straight in it. Now she had found out that feet were not made just for playthings, but to stand on. She was so glad.